What up on Deckers? It's a brand new week, brand new episode number 280 to be exact. And what else will we do this week other than review The Wizard, Future to be exact? You know how we get down on Deck TV with our album reviews and how we do it. I'm going to give you my perspective. Animal Brown will give you his perspective. That's how we do it at Real Bill Media. Different perspectives from different people. Also ranging from different podcasts. Those different podcasts are...
Man, Full Sport Press Podcast, FSP for short. Check them out every Monday to get your sports fix, all right? Excellent episodes, guys. I just listened to it on the way here. Very good shit, all right? Also, Fresh for Dummies, me and the homie J-Hove. Our new episode is up right now. We are giving predictions of what the fashion world will look like in 2019. All right, make sure you go get that and subscribe to that. Also, shout out to the ladies' room. Stay in tune to their feed, man, for when they drop their new, okay? And most importantly, go to YouTube. As a matter of fact, you can click the link in this show description. Subscribe to our feed so you can see us every Friday when we drop the videos, okay? In the meantime, let's get to this Wizard album. All right, I got a lot to say. Let's get to it. What it do, what the business is.
It is another week in the books. It's the On Deck TV podcast. I am Spike Lou.
Man, holla at your boy Animal Brown, a.k.a. Jerry Brown Rice. Man, I'm out the gate 4-for-4 or 3-for-3, whatever this is in a year.
That ain't it.
Jerry Brown Rice ain't it?
Nah, that ain't it, cuz. I thought you ate cauliflower rice anyway.
I eat that too. That's brown rice.
I had cauliflower mashed potatoes. Five? Sunday. I made them.
You blew it then. Yeah. It was ass.
I had them right.
What was they hitting on?
Nah, that was cool though.
Shout out M Extra on the boys. What it do, big dog?
What's going on?
Anything special for the weekend you had on deck?
Man, this weekend was crazy. I had a lot going on this weekend.
That's it? A lot going on.
You let me finish.
Yes, please.
It was a great playoff weekend. Both games were great. I know all my Atlanta natives were happy that the New Orleans Aints lost. there will be no second lining on Peachtree Street. Ooh, God damn it.
The New Orleans Atlanta beef is real.
It's real.
Absolutely. Man, I was slow motion. I hit the movies up a couple times. Shout out to that AMC pass. I'm putting it to use.
You hit the movies twice this weekend.
Absolutely.
That's crazy.
I saw The Upside.
Was that good?
Surprisingly, it was good as hell.
I'm not gonna.
I heard it was good.
Though,
it
Brian
was good.
Preston good though.
Yeah, he cold.
Yeah, so I
but
can see that,
but Kevin Hart bodied it though. He was serious and everything. He bodied it. He was believable.
I could see that.
He was believable. I can't even front. I didn't want to see it. Wifey kidnapped me and that shit. I actually enjoyed myself.
I actually want to see that. I want to see
it's
that
good.
In Vice.
I don't know about Vice.
Yeah, I see that too.
And then I saw Glass.
I saw Glass too. That was part of my week.
It was trash.
Damn.
It was trash. Now, I ain't gonna say I'm going too hard. It was okay until the end. The end was garbage.
See, I'm a M. Night Shyamalan fan.
You only know how to say his name, so you can't be that big of a fan.
I'm saying his name how we say it in the hood. Okay. Now, with that being said, I'm a fan of his endings. I think you two tied up in the comic book world. Like, you like Marvel and DC and all of that shit, so you had thought more into it than I did. I liked it. The ending made it to me, to be 100% honest. Up until the end, I was like, then the end and all the little shit. I was like, oh, okay. You got the little twist in there.
The end was trash, guys.
Not that bad.
Red box.
Y'all go see that.
And also, I went to a fight party as well.
I forgot about the fight.
Fight was some slaw. The undercards was better.
Can we get Adrian Brown out of here?
He got to come on. Get out, man.
Damn. AB. The other AB. All right,
other
man.
Other AB.
Yeah, absolutely. Jesus. AB. The second AB. We got a lot to talk about, man. Future dropped his album. A gang of shit happened over the weekend. Let's not waste a second.
Wizard.
All right, first off, man, Soulja Boy. Soulja Boy, tell him, is back in the news. Big Draco had a nice little media run lately. First, he went to Breakfast Club and ranted, let people know about his place in the game. And then he took his talents to Everyday Struggle, where he did more of the same. Now, my question to you is, are we laughing at him or with Soulja Boy?
I think we laughing with Soulja Boy. And the reason that I think we laughing with Soulja Boy is he ain't going, like, even on the Breakfast Club interview, he kind of broke character a little bit in there. You can see him smirk up, and it was kind of funny what he was saying. I like the confidence and the swagger that he's coming with saying this stuff because he ain't too serious.
Yeah.
Like he ain't on here saying, hey, I'm a better rapper than Jay-Z. All he's saying is respect what he did in the game. And once he started reading the receipts, It was pretty true. Like, I'm sitting there looking at the Breakfast Club interview, and I'm like, shit, he right.
Nah. Some of it was true.
Well, yeah.
I mean, most of it was true.
He was dropping some gems, but if you've been paying attention to the game, then you already knew that this was the case.
But he wasn't getting credit. We was just a month ago, we were laughing Soulja Boy off of this show and saying that he would never be mentioned on here again.
Yeah, and because the reason being, musically, he hasn't had a hit in a long time.
Well,
now, you can have a fake Apple Watch and a fake Nintendo 64. You can have all of that all day long, but until you have a hit record,
don't bring the black man down.
And see, this is the thing about Soulja Boy, and this is why he doesn't get the respect that he feels he deserves. Everybody who follows the game close enough knows that Soulja Boy is a legend because he has had multiple hits. He's been sampled multiple times, yeah. And he's a pretty good businessman. And a lot of younger generation of cats came in after him, doing a lot of the things that he did that people shunned at him at the time.
Right.
We mentioned that. I'm on record talking about that when he was on the Vlad video doing the fucking
I took the mask off.
When we talked about that, I said that he was a legend. Now, here's the only problem, though. He ain't got the music to match. So this little buzz that he got going on right now will be very short-lived. That's what happens when you don't have music to match your hype that you're talking.
I think that he has the personality to keep it going. This, like I said earlier, is going to be the year of what do you do outside of rap. The fake Nintendo, the fake Apple Watch, it's going to work for Soulja Boy because he's an entertaining individual. The movie, like, I want to see that now. This was his version of Baby's Put Some Respect. Yeah, I want to see the movie now.
Of course.
This was his version of Baby's Put Some Respect on My Name. It just took a little bit longer to do it. Like you said, everybody ain't giving him respect that he would want throughout the industry. But musically, what we looking for him for? Other than back catalog stuff and Superman that hoe. Like,
we know him for his music.
He dropped a song with this, by the way.
And who listened?
I listened.
And what was he hitting on? What was he talking about?
It was some slow.
Okay, that's what I'm saying, because he doesn't make good music anymore. At one point in time when the snap rap and the ringtone rap was on, he was making some decent. He had a couple of records, probably more hits than the average person remembers. Like, we know him for the Superman. But then he had a couple of other joints, and yes, we are consuming a lot of music, so you need a reminder every once in a while of shit that you've done. But he gets enough respect, and at this point, I think people are laughing at him. To a certain extent, because you're going a little too hard. And I want to know, why is it that all of a sudden everybody's big Drake on all this, but when Kanye does something similar, everybody wants to go in on my boy Ye?
Well, we know Soulja Boy is being funny. Ye is crazy. let's start there. But I think Soulja Boy pops up once a year, every year. You know, this is what he does. He's going to make a quick buzz, make a few hundred thousand, and he's going to rest until next year. That's all over again.
Now, the reason, in my opinion, that when Kanye does it, it's more, hey, woe is me. Now, Soulja Boy is saying, I've done these things, but he's saying, I've done these things for the culture. If it wasn't for me, you wouldn't have a Drake. If it wasn't for me, I mean, he's being a bit facetious when he says that.
Of course.
That's one of the reasons why we don't take him as serious. When Kanye does it, it's all like, I want everybody to feel sorry for me, the millionaire that's in Calabasas, is married to the number one popular Instagram model that's all over TV, but I still ain't getting what I want, so I'm going to throw a fit. This is less of a fit, more so than like I said earlier, put some respect on my name.
Yeah,
Kanye West got the respect on his name. We don't need you doubling.
No. He has has a respect in a certain field.
No, exactly.
Because you want him boxed into music. Comes into play.
If people are referring to you as a genius musically, you start to believe that outside of the booth you are that, and when you may actually not be that, and you're expecting people to treat you like that, and they're not.
The tents that I saw in Spain waiting for them Yeezys outside of Foot Locker will beg to differ whether he's only a musical genius.
He had a good shoe design. Does that make him now he's a fashion genius too?
He's had multiple good shoe designs.
Get back to Big Draco, though. The reason
I think it's the Kanye thing.
The reason that Big Draco doesn't strike people the way that Kanye does when he does it, because like I say, it's less about, hey, this is what I've done, you should be paying attention to me, I'm Walt Disney, and it's more about, hey, don't forget me, what I was making people do when I came out, how fun I made it, all of this stuff that I had to go through, like he said, the shots that he had to take when they called hip-hop was dead, when they said all of these things, when people mumble rapped in the beginning like he was doing.
I see a whole lot of similarities with him and Kanye and these rants.
That's because you love Kanye, though.
I just think we're taking it too serious. I just think he wanted to get up there, sell his video game and his song. That's it. Nothing more, nothing less, people.
He knows how to create a lightning a lightning rod and get eyes on him. Yeah. I will give him that.
Because this when he told a story about this time last year, right? When he was did the blah, blah.
Was that this year? I don't know.
It was about 12 months ago. Yeah. Like, he was going through all that shit with Chris Brown. The fight. All of that shit was like January of last year.
That's true.
What I'm saying? So he know every top of the year he going to try to make get in the black where he ain't got to do nothing for the rest of the year and ain't got to worry about putting no music out.
Y'all let me know what that new Soulja Boy mixtape sound like.
Yeah. He should have had an album Basura. Ready, to be honest.
That's the name of it?
No.
Oh.
That's Spanish for trash.
He should have dropped the greatest hits album after that, though.
All right.
To be honest. No, like.
We got seven hits?
Okay.
Motherfucker, EP?
See, yeah, drop the Kanye 7-song thing. Oh, fuck it. 7-song, like, restream me. Yeah.
I'll do much better. We don't mention Kanye again on this show. On this episode.
I'm all for it.
On this episode.
I'm all for it.
I mess with Kanye, but he's not relevant at the moment.
All right, man. Moving on to somebody who is a little more relevant right now, man. Cardi B. She took to IG to express her fear of what's going on with the government shutdown. Of course, everybody know about that. Mm-hmm. She made her stance clear on how she felt about Trump and the shutdown. Are you here for politically woke Cardi?
Yeah, I like it. I like it. It adds to her persona of not just being the ratchet ghetto chick in the box that we just spoke of that people try to put her in. And people want to get mad because she was able to speak out. And she actually articulated herself very well. And it seemed, I mean, for Cardi B, okay. I'll say. And it seemed like she was well-versed on the topic. She knew what she was hitting on. She didn't try to go too far and say, well, this is what we should do. She was just speaking about the facts at hand and knowing what could happen to get the shit done. I liked it. And yeah. I liked her saying that she would dog walk Tommy Loren for even coming to her. I liked that.
Yeah, I'm going to say this. The people are constantly wanting to know what celebrities are thinking about current topics, current mm-hmm. issues. And they usually catch you coming out of the airport, out of LAX, after a 7-hour flight, and they catch you to say something stupid because you're not really thinking or in that mind frame at the time, and they'll use that to blast across TMZ and other blogs, and then other people fall out with you and blah, 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 blah. Now you got to clean it up. I like that she took to her own platform. Obviously, she doesn't own Instagram, but I'm saying she owns her Instagram. Page, yeah. So she took to her own platform on her own terms and said it how she would want to say it. Might have took 3 or 4 takes. You understand what I'm saying? Like, that's how you – that's when you're smart with it and you plan and you have a team that kind of helps you out. And what she said, she didn't try to go on there like you said, like she was on CNN or like she's on CSNBC or whatever the fuck. She didn't try to act like that. She said it in her Cardi way, and she made a valid point that was digestible for her 40 million followers to grasp. And it also worked in terms of getting the attention, like you said, of Tommy Loren and a couple of other pundits or whatever on Fox News. And
they're
trying to
go on her ass twerk now.
They're trying to talk about the twerk video with City Girls.
Yeah. Which we love, by the way. Thank you.
Ain't nothing wrong with
you.
That.
Thank you.
Yeah,
Miami.
Tripping.
Thank you.
I will say this, though. It's 2 reasons I rock with her. A, it shows because that she's not in a bubble and that she understands what's going on for people that are not in her position. She good.
Yeah.
She's super good right now. Her checks coming in bananas.
Yes.
So she could not give a shit. She could be like Wayne, out of the loop and not giving a fuck, or yay, blind to the fact of a lot of shit going on, but she's not.
Or Travis Scott.
You know what I'm saying? That makes her, or Big Boy. Y'all want to keep going?
Yeah, like, you can go.
Go there. Big Boy's a legend.
Yeah, Atlanta legend.
No.
But I like that it did it, and I like that it boosted her profile too. And her saying dog walk made my day. I had to follow after
she
that.
She got that from us in the Ville.
Oh, that made you follow her?
Yeah, that made me follow her because we say that we've been saying in the Ville for 20 years.
Dog walk, is that what that is? Yeah,
easy.
Definitely. You're the originators?
Yeah, absolutely.
Hot take here.
Yeah. With that being said, though, I tell you what I took away and what I liked is that she's not scared to lose. Like you said, she got 40 million Instagram followers, and that can kind of put you in a box as to where people are like, well, I'm not fucking with Cardi because I don't agree with her on this take. But she wasn't scared of that. She wasn't pulling the Michael Jordan, well, Republican by sneakers too.
Yeah.
It didn't matter to her. And I like the fact that she stood on that and even doubled down when people start coming at her. Like, you don't want to be a fan no more because of this? Peace.
And she had the witty comebacks.
Oh, yeah.
Clap back Cardi
is in full effect. I'm here for clap back Cardi.
Yeah, gotta
she
be
was
quick
down. She had plenty of time. I don't know what she on vacation or what, but she had plenty of time.
I'm rocking with. I'm here for the. And again, we're not asking her to go and represent all of black people.
She ain't gotta be Killer Mike.
Yeah, you don't have to do that shit.
Need it.
Just do you in your way and just show that you know what's going on outside of the Cardi B bubble. That's it. That's all we want artists to do.
Yeah.
But it's tough because you get a Travis Scott You know what I'm saying? You get a yay. And they got a lot of shit going on, though. Like, you got to, like, let's be honest, though.
Offset was like, hey, man, what everybody talking about you for? What the wall? What you talking about wall?
Don't do Offset any kind of way. Offset knows what's going on. He know what's going on, man.
What you tell him? What's shut down, baby? We can't go to the, with the government? We can't
go? All right,
damn.
That was Spike Lee.
Yeah,
Offset. Can't go to the government, baby.
We good in the A. Animal Brown is good in the A, Offset.
That was jokes, man. That was Spike Lee. These jokes too. Let's go.
Speaking of A-Town news, man, Hood Rich Pablo won.
I ain't joking.
Independent artist down here in Atlanta signed to Gucci's 1017.
Yeah, that's your man's.
Hood Rich Pablo won, my guy.
Yeah, that's your boy.
We played a record on here a couple years ago. That shit bang, and I still listen to that shit. Okay, so he was reportedly robbed for the second time in less than a year.
Ooh.
His social media right now, they're either blocked, like his Twitter, or they've been completely erased, like his IG. He's got one or two posts on IG right now, and the comments are blocked. My question is it harder for street rappers, air quote, to bounce back from situations like this, and is that fair or foul?
I think it is harder in 2019 because everybody sees everything. Like, if somebody got a Twitter footage of it, somebody got Instagram footage of it, somebody got it on their Snapchat, somebody waiting to release it 6 months from now when you thought it was over with, and you on your little run, and boom, here go the video, and you get knocked out and stripped butt naked in the street.
Which is allegedly what happened.
Allegedly.
Oh, so there's no video?
No, not that we know of.
That yet.
Okay.
Yeah. But with that being said, when this happens in your own hometown, it makes it even harder to bounce back from, because those are going to be the people that got time in your mentions every time you post some. Oh, nigga, you was getting robbed back in the day, such and such.
Yeah.
Little buddy and them did that. You
they know names
and they know who did it, why they done it, how long they been doing it. And it just makes it hard. Like, I just heard him on a new record with Scooter.
Yep.
It was a pretty gangster record.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? There was some gangster shit going on that record. And I just don't know if you can listen to Hood Pablo One and still be like, okay. And I ain't testing this gangster at all. He may be everything he say he is.
Right.
He may have just ran into some niggas that was more about that life than he was.
Yeah, so. And this is, like I said, this is the second time in a very short time. In D.C., he had got caught slipping, apparently.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah, and he took to IG, because the cats took to IG, had the chain and all that.
Yeah, I remember that.
But see, on that situation, Juan took to IG himself and did like a selfie or whatnot, had to bust it. He was like, yeah, they caught me slipping. You know what I'm saying? Now.
That's some tour shit. It's different
possibly
when in your backyard.
It's different when it happens again in less than 7 months.
Yeah.
That's when it's different.
Yeah.
Like, it's one thing. But you know what? I paid a close attention to that because, one, I fuck with his music. And I was interested to see what the comments were going to look like when that first incident happened.
Right.
And it was 100% positive support in his comments.
Oh, stay up. You're going
to
be good.
Yeah, like, all the pussy niggas had to run up on you 6 deep. And you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, fans make excuses.
That's what they said?
Yeah, tough. Like, they listen. You know how fans get. That's short for fanatic.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and again, let's be also honest, some of the negative comments could have been deleted.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you never know.
But also, one thing you said, he cut the comments off on this one, though.
Now, this situation is different.
It's different when you at home.
It's different when it's two times in a row.
It's much different when you're home.
Allegedly. Like, it's
that doesn't help.
It's different because, like you say, people know you. People know who and what went on and, like, what's for real about it. Wasn't nobody, like, that we know of trying to catch you slipping after a show.
Right.
It seems like it was more personal.
15 years ago, this would have been easier for him to deal with.
Because the source would have had a little blurb about it. Yeah. We would have read it.
Kept
everybody
it
else, like, then he would have had a single 6 months later. Nobody
would have gave a shit.
This.
But the life of it lasts longer on social media.
Yeah.
The comments,
because niggas
retweets.
Gonna keep bringing it up. Let him get a big single this year. It's gonna be a nigga on Twitter. Y'all remember?
Oh, that ain't never going away.
Y'all remember that time? Yeah.
And I don't even think necessarily it's got to do nothing with being at the house, because anybody that's jumped off the porch long enough know that anybody can get got at any given time. That's not, nobody's untouchable, no matter what you say on your song with Scooter or Gucci or whoever the fuck you rapping with. Like, no one's untouchable. So you get a pass, I believe, for maybe one.
How many passes?
Untouchable is the wrong
thing. I mean, but you know what I'm saying.
It's surprising if you hear about some people getting robbed. And Hood, especially at home. Like,
were you surprised, though?
Especially when you talk that gangster shit.
Yeah,
I ain't
saying that just because he that gangster. I'm just saying because of the people that he run with. Like, if you signed to Gucci and you run with Scooter, and that's different in Atlanta than it is in D.C. it comes with some, we thought, cloak of like, all right, I'm pretty cool over here and cool over there. It seems like that has worn off.
But we all know hometown is where all the shit be happening. That's where all the rappers die from. Yeah,
that's where you get killed at. Now, I'm talking about robbed as far as jealousy and
that's all the same shit, though. Them same niggas that's robbing is the same niggas that's going to murk the niggas when they come home.
I'm not definitely not saying that that's not the case, but what I'm saying is it rings different when you are at home and it happens. Like, when you in D.C. and it happens, niggas can chalk it up to, oh, it's six niggas, it's random-ass niggas, this could have happened to anybody, like you said. When you at home, you move differently, you hang with different people, you know where to go and where you ain't good at.
In theory.
If you at home, you are expected to be around or in a place where you think that you good at. So if you get robbed at home, you thought, oh, I was good here, so something went awry. That's when people start talking. So that's what I say the difference is.
Went awry. Spike Lou out.
I think when
it, word of the day.
Right. When it happens twice, though, that's when you begin to look like a target, though. Like, that's when you got that. You got
people
that.
People start talking.
You, yeah, and now you soft. And now you easy. Yeah. That's when it kind of can go left. Like, 2 Chainz got caught slipping in the bay.
Never happened again.
Probably not. See, no, that's inexcusable, though. That's because he's got money. He's supposed to have shit around him, though.
But he had the security guards, I thought.
I can't remember.
The nigga ran up randomly, like with security guards and everything was slipping. Everybody was slipping. All them supposed to got fired.
We did say that when that happened. We were saying all of them need to be fired. Uh-huh. You're right.
Hood Rich just got, hey, man, live what you say in your rap. You got to be ready for that.
Don't nobody believe that shit no more. Yeah, no, stop.
What? You're not supposed to be ready for it?
Man, Rick Ross. Oh, you're saying, okay. Man, you are Ross supposed to be ready.
That's what I'm saying.
People don't believe everything, though. Everybody knows that shit's fabricated.
No, but you got to be ready.
Well, it make you even more of a target if people don't believe it.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
True. Slim Jesus ain't getting robbed.
Slim Jesus ain't got
conscious
no money.
Conscious rappers don't get robbed. Think about that.
Maybe. All right, moving on, man. Speaking of 2 Chainz.
2 Chainz.
We spoke about the government shutdown. And 2 Chainz has stepped up and decided his new kicks, the new gray and white Versace shoes that he's got, come out February 1st. They come out Super Bowl weekend. Mm-hmm. He said, listen, if the government shutdown is still going on, I am donating all of my proceeds that I would have gotten from the deal, from the shoe sales, to the federal government workers who are currently furloughed. Do rappers have more responsibility to do stuff like this more often?
I wouldn't necessarily say that they have it to do more often, but I would say in vital times like these, it should be a time when they step up. If it's donating proceeds or shoes sold, if it's organizing events as to where you can help people that are being affected by the shutdown, anything like that. Everybody that stood up and said, hey, you shouldn't be performing at the Super Bowl because of what happened with police, because of what happened with Colin Kaepernick. Mm-hmm. Those should be the same people standing up now saying, hey, all these TSA workers that are finna deal with all of these people coming through the Atlanta airport that ain't getting paid a dime, and the U.S. government employ more black people than any corporation in America, there should be a long line of artists saying, hey, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, just to look out for and to combat what you see and with the Donald Trumps and the Kanye West bullshit, just to show the other side of the coin that everybody ain't on that. And that in 2019, especially, people are paying attention to shit like that. I don't think that it's like you were just talking about being in a bubble with Cardi B. It looks good, and that's part of your brand now. You can make a lot of money, get a lot of engagements. I'm not saying that that's what they want to do, but that's what it's about. When you show like, hey, I got a heart too, and like, I don't need this money that I negotiated off this Versace deal. I'm good. My kid is good. So you know what? These people coming to work ain't been paid in a month.
That's rough.
Here you go. Here you go. A little check for you.
Yeah.
And I think a lot more people should do that.
And I can respect that. And listen, I wouldn't take points away for somebody that maybe hasn't stepped up and done that.
No, I wouldn't.
It's not everybody's responsibility.
Unless you was very vocal about what people should and shouldn't be doing with their performances at the Super Bowl. If you were saying stuff then, you should be saying stuff now, in my opinion. Because this is a bigger deal than that, though.
That's all of Twitter that's saying people, Travis Scott, shouldn't perform.
That's true.
What are they donating to?
What position are they in to donate?
Hey, man, they got the new Jays, nigga, that came out last Saturday.
Well, having a social stance and donating are two different things.
Yeah. But you got to back up what you say or it rings false.
Well, how donating something, not you can agree.
You can
that
show support
Travis Scott
without putting money.
Yeah.
Now I'm
That's
speaking
criticism though.
No, I'm support because I'm speaking of the people like I'm just gonna say Jay-Z, and I'm not necessarily pointing the finger at him.
Yeah, right.
But they were saying that, hey, Jay-Z made a call to Travis Scott and said, hey, you shouldn't do this. Jay-Z, I don't know if he did or didn't, could make that same call and say, hey, we setting this up in Atlanta Super Bowl weekend. All the party proceeds from this Roc Nation party, they're going to these government workers, and this is how they're going to get the money.
Please say you're just using an example. You're
That's definitely an
say,
example. Okay. I'm not expecting him to do that.
Okay, because Jay-Z do a lot of shit.
I ain't putting him on the cross for this.
First of all, it's fucked up when you see situations like this that have to kind of bring the good out of people, so to speak, kind of let you know everything in the world just ain't going to shit. But I commend 2 Chainz for what he's doing. Do you feel any type of way that he said if it's still that way by February 1st, though?
Well, nah, that's when the shoe dropped, and that's when he gonna steal money. No. That's some nigga shit though.
If it's still going on, when I get right,
when I get my taxes back, if it's still fucked up out here, I got y'all.
Nah, but I'm just fucking around. But that's a dope look by 2 Chainz. He's ahead of the curve. Like this, to me, everybody should do this simply because A, it's a positive media. It's a good media look. Yeah. It's a tax write off if we keeping it all the way 100. It's a win-win for the people that do need it and are check to check. Because this story, yeah, it's some stories on Twitter, like hashtag shutdown stories.
Damn, I've listened.
It's some shit.
I've been listening to NPR. Nigga, they've
that shit boring as fuck.
Nah, but they love NPR. Shout out to NPR. This had this one dude on there. The nigga was on food stamps.
Oh.
And he worked like at a government job. So not only is he not getting paid, but the benefits stamps, ain't coming either. So he couldn't eat.
That's rough.
That's tough. Man.
Come on, fam.
That's 2 Chainz is a stand up guy, man.
He is. I like 2 Chainz.
He always doing positive things.
That's true.
Here in Atlanta, everybody loves him because this is what he's about. I mean, he's about helping others.
Agreed.
And, you know,
I think it's why he's so popular.
There's no loser in this situation when you do so. Remember when Nicki was paying tuitions off? I mean, was paying loans off on Twitter? Like, there's no loot. That's the easiest promo on earth, dude.
Yeah, that's a fact.
Like, what the fuck?
It seems like you would think that a lot more celebrities, since a lot of people, and I ain't saying that they shouldn't, are speaking out against Donald Trump. One of the biggest ways to combat that is doing something for people now. Then you won't be just coming out in 2020 saying, hey, don't vote for him. You can say, hey, back when the government was shut down, we set this
up.
We made sure that these people was getting paid. That's why you should vote for this person that we talking about voting
for.
That's a fact, man. Let's hit this music break. Big Crit. Is that what we got here, man? Tell us why we playing this.
Young Crit.
Yes, man. Big Crit.
Big Crit still rap?
Yeah, don't do that, man. Huh. Shout out to the Sip. Big Crit off of his TDT EP, I believe. This song is called 100. So check it out.
I wasn't perfect at all, but you picked up on my calls. You text and you ask if I eat right. All alone without me, you don't sleep right. Tossing and turning, your incense is burning. A lot of learning about each other now. We were best friends before we was lovers, so how could we bring each other down? I gotta be out, yeah. You need to breathe now, cause we ain't on the same page, no. Ain't stuck together in days, and the hugs and the kisses turn to waves. The love that we had turned to pain, and you still hold it down cause you feel it. 100 forever, like really, yo, really. This is how you running. Had a bunch of choices, I'm the one you wanted. You was better off without me, but you still felt punished. Even when we broke up, she kept it 100. She kept it 100. She kept it 100. She kept it 100.
All right, man, that was Big Crit 100. Like you said, off of the TBT. Now, here's my
TDT.
Thing. TDT, oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever the hell that means. I know he had dropped those 3 EPs. This TDT is just a culmination of with no new. Should he have just dropped? First of all, that song is banging.
That song is banging.
Yeah. Let's listen.
I'd like to apologize, Big Crit, to be honest, because I listened to that. I listened to the whole thing.
Straight.
It is. It's,
he got some shit on
there.
Yeah, and for sure.
Coming off his song, I think that, and I get into this when we get into this Future review, he has the same problem in Future, Rick Ross, Davies. And
Jesus
and
Christ, a lot of people got problems.
Yeah, what kind of problems?
Well, I mean, just they all have the same problem, and I get into it later. But Crit is rapping his ass off. I like that.
That song is fire. The beat is fire. The hook is catchy. That's a radio joint.
Radio friendly for sure.
I will say this, though. Why wouldn't he have just dropped this one project instead of the 3 EPs leading up to this and then the project? I could have just made a playlist. I didn't need him to drop an unofficial project. Why didn't he just drop this as one?
Streaming. I think if you drop something you get put on the like new and newsworthy shit. So every week,
it's like getting refreshed.
Three, yeah, every week you drop
keep his name
three,
out there,
a new one out there, and he need that. That's I'm glad
point.
He
independent. That's a good
box.
Point.
Yeah.
Marketing.
I'm glad he thinking outside the box and trying to get his name bigger because he rapping his ass off.
He deserves to be bigger, man. Crick and spit, man.
That's
he
true.
He does deserve to be bigger.
Okay, that makes sense. With streaming aspect,
but he needs to broaden his perspective.
He ain't coming down off a slab. You ain't
exactly.
With that?
I ain't trying to hear him coming down off no slab in 2019.
Damn,
Crick, we see you, boy. Returning for.
Yes, I fuck with it. All right, man. Topic of the week, man. Future.
I've been popping since my demo, bitch.
Since my demo, bitch.
Wow. You've been rapping that ever since we walked in this damn
studio.
I've
been waiting to say that. I had to get it out for M Extra.
Yeah, hating ass nigga.
Future dropped his, I believe this is his 7th album.
Jesus, really?
I believe so. Yeah, look that up. But I believe so. Not obviously, not including the mixtapes or the joint with Drake or Juice WRLD.
Draco.
Yeah, but so you know how we get down, man. We do our initial thoughts on the album and also kind of what we expected. Then we'll go through our favorite tracks and what we didn't like about the album before we kind of rank it in its catalog. And you know how we get down, man. Give it a ranking, man. Now, Lou, your initial thoughts. Actually, no, before your initial thoughts. What did you think leading up to this? Did you have any expectations whatsoever? And what did you think about it when you heard it?
I thought some of the lure was taken away from Future with this rollout because he was doing more interviews than I'm used to. I ain't used to Future talking this much.
He don't talk that much.
And just with him talking this much, it made me think that something was going on. Like he was worried about people not being as... not taking a liking to him as much or him just not being as popular as he was, so he felt like he had to tell his story. I don't know. I didn't watch a lot of the interviews from Future, but I did listen to this album. My expectations of it going into it is just another that DS2 part 2 or whatever it is, any extension of Monster or FBG mixtape that you want to name is what I feel like this would be. I didn't feel like that you're going to get any groundbreaking or new material from Future because that just ain't what he do. He stay in his pocket. He perfected his pocket, and he does well in his pocket, but he ain't leaving that pocket. I don't care what happens.
You know what? I say my expectations with this album was the same as they've been for like the last maybe 4 or 5 Future projects.
Their pocket.
Yeah, no, you know what you're going to get when a Future project is getting ready to drop. Now, you don't know maybe if he, you know, he usually has an anthem or two on his projects that'll take off and carry him throughout the year, the summer, whatever it is when he drops. So I expected that to be on here. I expected him to give us what he has given us before with the last 3 or 4. Like you said, his projects to me kind of run congruently. Like Beast Mode 2. Like I can't tell you the difference between Beast Mode 2 and Beast Mode 1. I can't
only,
tell
you. Only Future fans can. Like only real deal Future fans.
And there's a lot of us.
Now I will say this though. He did step out of his box a little bit with the double disc. Because he did one that was rap and then he did one that was all singing. So I give him that. But in terms of expectation with this, I make sure to set mine right at a nice little steady, medium-sized bar so I'm not thinking, oh, this is going to be the one or this is when he's going to switch it up. Any of that, I think Future's going to do Future, and I don't expect anything more or less.
That's good.
Well, I mean, all those albums that you named sound different.
ATL,
so,
oh, my God.
I don't know what you're saying.
All of these Future albums
Future and Hendrix completely different. Monster was different. Monster was groundbreaking. It catapulted.
If you start referring to Future and Hendrix as two different people, I'm out.
What do you mean? Everybody has different nicknames.
That's
what do you
true.
Mean? What are you talking about?
That's true.
Is that a bad thing? In rap, especially?
It's a bad thing when you tell me that, hey, this Hendrix album sounds different from this Future.
It does.
It does
that was
though.
The R&B
the
and
point.
Rap one. That was a split.
Man, and like the Wizard is a conclusion.
Okay, so that's like telling me Aubrey and Drake have an album. Then this Aubrey's better than this Drake.
No, I think you're missing that
was
the name.
R&B and a song album, too. It all sounded like Drake still.
No, you're getting caught in the minutia of the name.
Yeah,
getting caught in the minutia. Y'all the ones calling them two different people.
No, that's the name of the album.
Yeah, the two albums were different albums.
I understand that, but I'm just saying.
They sounded completely different.
Yeah, they did.
All right, it has a different format.
And Wizard is the conclusion.
Go ahead, guys.
Yeah, I don't know if Wizard's the conclusion.
It's definitely the conclusion.
Hopefully so. Yeah.
But
hopefully.
I will say initial thoughts, though, and this happens to me all the time when I listen to a Future project. The first go-round, bro, it sounds like one long song. Like it, just, does. Future has gotten to the point where he's got so many people that have bit his style.
That's true.
That you're not. This isn't like I'm listening to this album for the first time. I've been listening to this all summer because everybody's been doing this for the last 3-4 summers. So that's what it's hard to digest it the first go round. Now here's the thing: second, third time, I had to step away from it, get some fresh ears on the project, so that way I can decipher the different songs and start to pick out the ones that I'm feeling. Once I started to do that, oh, this album fire.
Fire.
This Future right here is fire. My own, and we'll get to my lowlights in a minute, but this album is fire, though. Like, fire. I'm not going to lie. Flames. It is, and he's not talking the typical reckless drug use or like.
What?
Not really. Not on this album at all. This is nowhere near like World on Drugs or some of his earlier projects.
World on Drugs.
Yeah, with him and Juice WRLD.
Yeah,
it's not like those type of projects. He's kind of toned it down a little bit. And I think this was the reason for him doing the interviews. He's doing something just a little bit different in terms of subject matter with his interviews and with this. Like, dude never does interviews to promo his album. Never. Yeah. I think he's been on like Zane maybe once.
Yeah,
7 years ago. He got a documentary coming out with this motherfucker.
I thought it was already out.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry. Yeah, he had a documentary drop with him. Yeah. It was part of the rollout. He had a documentary drop, which was okay. He was on there talking this shit. I liked it. It was watchable. And then he did interviews, and so that let me know something may be a little different with this one. The topics are just a little bit switched up. I'm not saying he on here political. I'm not saying he on here backpack super deep with it, but it's just not as dumbed down as maybe before. That's all I'm saying.
How many interviews did you watch?
I watched the one on was he Big Boy?
Yeah.
I watched the Big Boy and a little bit of, it was one more I watched. I can't remember.
Did a good one with Nessa from Hot 97.
I didn't watch that one.
Did you watch the documentary?
I did.
Okay. I feel like he kind of sold you a little bit, and that's why you think that the subject matter is different. See, I didn't watch any interviews. And me listening to it, I thought the complete opposite of what you said. I didn't think that it had matured any. I did agree. It sounded like everybody that I heard this summer. It sounded like Designer. It sounded like
Designer.
Gunner. It sounded like Lil Baby.
They all family.
All of it is in the same realm. It's just the Future is the Godfather. I will give him that. He does it better than they do it, but it sounds the same. Like, Future is better at it. I 100% will give him that. But what I would compare Future to is like he's the Twitter of rap. Like, he made it cool to make it concise. Like, the little catchphrases, the little small stuff, 140 characters or less. I feel like listening to this album, that's everything that I got. I didn't get complete thoughts. I got tweets. I get stuff from over here, over there. And that, to me, makes it sound like every other thing that he did. I didn't find him maturing in his music as I feel like he should on his 7th album.
Because the reason being, because remember, he didn't start off like that, though.
That's what makes me think that way. Because I can go back and listen to Astronaut Status.
That's true.
Or I can go back and listen to Based on a True Story, and he rapping.
Yeah.
Like, it's cold. Like, Future, like, got bars.
Now, that's a fact. But he got in his pocket when he switched it up to this Instagram, or excuse me, Twitter style rap, this ADD rap, which is what I like to call it, which is what, let's be honest,
that's what the little baby is for.
That's what that shit is on. They're on ADD raps where one bar does not necessarily have anything to do with the bar before it or the bar after it.
Lil Wayne started that a long time ago.
Yeah, because he did a lot of mixtapes and shit.
Yeah, I mean, just listen to 6 foot, 7 foot, listen to.
That's probably. Yeah, that's true. But he still had that element
there were
he could snap, though.
Punchlines to Wayne's stuff.
And it was witty.
But they didn't make sense. The one bar didn't make sense.
But one bar, like, there was some connection to at least the punchline. With Future, it's like, this curtain is
one
black.
Thought.
Yeah, this curtain is black. I'm in a brand new vet. I'm a shark. Like, what? Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Like, it's just all over the place. Now, he puts it together well. Like, it sounds good sometimes.
Production is fire.
But I just don't think that, like, the music is growing. So, at this point in his career, being Future, how long are you going to rap to the generation that listens to Lil Baby and listens to Gunna and think that they got classics?
I think he can switch it up, though, because he's done it before. At least he has an...
go back to what he started.
At least he has a history of rapping one way successfully.
That's true.
And then switching it up to another way and being even more successful at that.
Listen to any Rocco CD. That's all Future.
Yeah, that makes Future even more talented, in my opinion, because he can do both. I mean, for this album, though, I'm a co-sign Animal Brown here. The album is fire. I mean, the production is crazy on this album.
Yep.
It is good.
Just driving around listening to this, I mean, so many knocks on this album. I'm just like,
that's true.
You know, just makes me want to drive longer just to keep listening.
Now, the production is hypnotizing.
Yeah,
that is true.
Yeah,
it is one of those albums that you'll put it in. And I see how the future Hive consumes his music. Like what you just said, at first, if you listen to it, you may not like it, but it's so concise and it's so short and repetitive. You listen to it again and you find yourself repeating what you're saying. Then you listen to the third time. Of course, you like it now because it's familiar to you and you rapping with it. You're like, oh, shit, I like this.
I'm telling you.
And it's so easy to digest.
I'm telling you, you have to step away and get some and clear your head, though. Like, I'm not going to lie. When I first listened to it, and no, because I'm serious, because you have to get some fresh ears on it, dude.
Because you really got to, like.
Because it runs together at first. Yeah. I'm going to be honest.
And you gotta find the funny shit. Like, it's funny stuff and little punchlines all the way through there.
Some things are definitely funny.
Yeah, that's true.
100%.
Or like you said, the standout bars. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, I just fucked your bitch with some Gucci flip-flops. You know what I'm saying? Now, obviously, that's not on this album, but I'm just giving an example of a standout.
You gonna come line. What is you gonna come in a car and you leaving a mink or some shit like that?
Some leaving a jet, I can promise you that.
Yeah.
Another funny line is.
You done genius the whole goddamn album.
Yeah, man. Ever since I made her tie my shoe, I made her my favorite.
That was funny.
Nigga said, I should charge you the piece. I should piss on a bitch and charge her for it.
I don't remember. What song was that?
You ain't hear that? Yeah. I should piss
that
on
sound like your Pornhub search history.
Wow.
He didn't say that on here.
Well, y'all let us know in the comments. He definitely said, I should piss on your bitch and charge you for it.
I missed that. I'm going to keep it a buck.
I can't believe you missed that.
Nah, I missed
your fetishes.
Oh, my God. Now I'm Robert Kelly?
Whoa.
You had
Jesus
to take
Christ.
This is taking a weird turn for a future album.
Back to Future's album.
Back to the Wizard.
Favorite tracks. What are some of your favorite joints on this 20,000-track album?
20,000.
All right, let me pull it up. Of course, the intro. I like the intro that I quoted in the
Never
beginning.
Stop?
Yeah, Never Stop. I definitely like Never Stop.
Yeah, that's
I like
a good record.
A Serving Killer Cam.
Oh, yeah, that's one
I really like one of those. I like Stick to the Models.
Yeah, that's my favorite
Stick to
record.
The Models is a cool track for me. And I like both of the features. I see what people are talking about with Young Thug and when he on the hook and the ad-libs. That
fire.
Was a funny
if he sticks to the ad-lib, that's fine.
That was some funny-ass ad-libbing, dude. And
that's
it was like perfection. Like
relax.
He said something about he used to serve out an apartment as Pamela and or some shit like that, and then the ad lib jumped through like she'll tell you, and like that was funny as fuck. And Travis Scott, I liked his verse on the other song.
I will say, I do like Never Stop. I like Jumping on the Jet as well. I thought FNN was banging.
Oh yeah, FNN.
That beat is crazy. I also like that Baptize, and when that beat switches up in the second half of Baptize.
Man.
That's banana, and it took me all weekend to figure out what that beat was.
His own, he sampled his own.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That, man, listen, you know when you can't really put your finger on like a sample?
What the fuck?
Hell is that? That's the Cali shit, I got the keys. That's where that came from. So I was like, oh, okay. So that shit goes hard. That's now that Future right there where the beat is just all energy and he's all rapid fire flow. He's switching his voice up. Like, he's just snapping. That's the shit that when you hear that in the club, it's going to sound so good. You got two or three drinks in your system. He's got that down to a science. And lucky for him, the game is still in that lane. So he doesn't necessarily have to kind of worry about switching it up or doing anything differently. Like you said, maybe going back to bar. He ain't got to do that right now because the climate is still where it is. Thanks to Migos, Baby, and other people carrying it. He doesn't have to switch it up. So I thought that was fire. Now, what I didn't like.
What you didn't like?
What I didn't like. First of all, you know how we do. 20 songs is too much.
That is
too much. Like, I don't give a fuck who you are. I don't give a fuck you, Jay, fucking whoever, my favorite rapper ever. I don't care who you are. Stop making 20 song albums. We don't need that. Number two, I think his best song was his first song, and that's not good. I think Never Stop should have been an outro. This should have been 14 songs. That song should have been the last song on there. And I think people, because that sounded like an outro to me. Like I said, like him wrapping it up with that, nigga, that's how you stick the landing. And I think people would be giving this album a little more benefit than they are. Even though there's a lot of gas on, it's a lot of gas on the social media right now for this album.
They saying they like it.
Yeah.
As they should.
You see the picture with him with the trophies. He's like, hey, he got another one.
Seven times. And you're right. Seven. He blessed us again. Seven times.
Man. Yeah. So
blessed us again.
Yeah, man. That's the, you know, people love gas and Future shit. Look, I'm here for it. This shit bang, and I'm not going to lie. But that was my weak spots on the album. A couple of joints, like toward the end, it started falling off a little bit. Ain't Coming Back was like, Tricks on Me. I'm good. And it should have been 15 songs, and that fucking that Never Stop should have ended it.
Yeah. Yep. My did not likes are
not my did not
my did not likes
did not likes. D definitely the length. Didn't like it being 20 songs. It'd be that, like you just said, you did that perfectly. We can do 14, and that would have been great. Secondly, what I was saying earlier when I was talking about Creed, when I was talking about Rick Ross, and I was talking about Davies, Future is one of those rappers I feel like they don't grow enough in their music. Like, it's not enough maturity from one album to the next. So you feel like, I heard this before. And I felt like that with some of the tracks with Future. Like, I've heard this on DS2. I've heard this on whatever mixtape that he came out with after DS2 that these same lines were on. And it just seems like there's a lot of room there for him to grow as an artist because he got a fan base that's not going to leave him alone anyway. Like, he can fall flat on his face and try some different shit. They're still going to be there.
Yeah.
So that was one of my takeaways from the album, that he could have went out on a limb a little bit more and did different things, whether it been with features, whether it been with songs, however you want to do it. I feel like that he should have did it and got out of that pocket a little bit. Talk Shit Like a Preacher was nothing to me.
Nah, that's true. I like that.
I didn't like FNN.
Crazy as fuck.
And I didn't like Go Dummy. I like,
that's some sloth.
Yeah, I didn't like that.
I just did not like those songs, and they didn't hit with me like the other ones.
FNN,
like,
dumb hard.
I don't like that. I ain't like it.
That was only three songs. So 17 you liked.
I didn't say that.
we can't go through everything we don't like.
I ain't gonna go through that. Those are the ones that stuck out that I didn't like. Okay. But like I say, overall, if I had to rate this on a scale, we'll be giving it reels, I would give it 2 reels.
What the fuck?
That's what I got.
Oh my God.
I got 2 reels for
bro, me. Please go stand it in the corner.
And no. I ain't saying that. It's no disrespect to
that's
Future.
Very disrespectful.
He's in his pocket at what he does. It just wasn't anything new to me.
I think this is one, if you revisit in about a week, you'll think differently about it.
Yeah, you slipping.
I think you'll think differently about it.
How many reels do y'all give it?
I give it 3.5. It's a pretty. Look, dude, if you look at, and we might need to put some respect on his discography.
Gotta put respect on
him. And not even the mixtape. We know the mixtape's A1, but his albums, after he bounced back from the first and second album, he was kind of still trying to find himself. He was with Ciara, trying to do too much. That wasn't him.
Trying to help her career out.
Yeah, when he left Ciara and he just went in beast mode, he been cooking ever since, dog. Ever since. Like, I'm not going to lie, DS2, Evol, the Future and the Hendrix double dip, like them been fire, nigga. Like, I'm not even gonna lie.
Well, let me ask you this. Is Future in the same Atlanta realm as T.I., Ludacris, Jeezy?
At this point,
he is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
When it's all said and done,
absolutely.
I'm talking about right now.
If he ended today.
I mean, because Future just found his, like, he picked up right after that. When they start falling off,
that's true.
He swooped right in. And that's what happened.
He's been holding it down for a stretch, too. Yeah.
This album, I give it 4. Because, you know, at home, that 2 really is disrespectful.
Yeah, that's mad. You bullshit. Yeah.
I mean, out of 20 songs, I probably don't like maybe 2 or 3. Like you said, I don't like Going Dummy.
That's trash.
I could have done without a Talk Shit Like a Preacher. But everything, I mean, Stick to the Models, I've played that probably 56 times since I've heard it. That's my shit.
I can see you playing that 56 times.
Yeah,
right,
I mean, and it knocks too. And Killer Cam, Killer Cam is hard.
Serving Killer Cam hard.
That shit crazy.
Yeah. Any song referencing Cameron has to be hard.
Man, y'all let us know go to Facebook, go to the Rap Chat, let us know, comment on Instagram or Twitter, at On Deck TV Podcast. What did y'all think of that Future? Is it as good as is this another chip? Is this another trophy?
Another trophy.
In his case? Or is it whack like Lou just tried to shit on it?
I didn't say it was whack.
No, two reels is whack.
No, it's not. That's not what the definition of 2 reels is.
2 reels is definitely whack.
2 reels is
trivial. That ain't what the definition of it is.
Exactly. Nothing whack. Nothing average about his album.
No, it's not.
Everything average about this album.
Man. Shout out.
If he didn't have so many clones, like, this shit would be incredible.
That ain't my fault.
That's true.
Yeah, I mean, that's the gift and the curse. I mean, when you doing your thing.
You're a trendsetter.
Yeah, you're a trendsetter, man. Shout out to Future, the whole FBG.
At some point in time, you got to separate yourself from the people, though. I don't feel like
he's done that, man. He's fathered these flows, man.
Now, this is more quality than some of those people you have.
Yeah, way more quality.
He's great at it.
Shout out to ATL Jacob, whoever you are. You have shown me. You got some bangers on this album.
Oh, yeah. Them beats bananas.
Shout out to the niggas that still read the credits.
Yeah,
ATL.
That's a lost art.
I was gonna say, I ain't even know nothing about that.
Producer.
Let's hit this music break real quick. Speaking of one of his biggest biters, allegedly, Designer is back.
Randomly is back when Future drops.
Yeah.
Yes,
huge biter.
Around the same time, man. This song right here is featuring Dave East. Brand new shit, man. It's called Rich. Let's see if he still got it.
First you get that bag, then you get that bitch. Money come with hoes. hoes they always switch. I go get that money, get it rich. I can't trust these hoes they always switch. I got a chopper that come with a stick. You try to run up, get hit. I am a boss and I'm feeling my time. I make a bitch buy a brick. I know it's money before them hoes. I hope you never forget. I know the money ain't bringing the hoes. She I'm a farm and you rich. She I'm a farm and you rich. She do more things with the rich. Do everything with the rich. But when you go broke, she a switch. When you go broke, she a switch. That's why I don't trust no bitch. I'd rather fucking get rich. Get money drip from my six, y'all. Plus niggas that hate on you. So you gotta ride with it. Some don't ride with it. So they get it how you give it. You know where we come from. You got a boss up. Or you gonna have a boss. Or the choppers can get you lost. First you get that bag. Then you get that bitch.
All right, man, we are back. That was Designer. I think he's still with Good Music. I don't know. We'll run with that. Good Music's own Designer. Featuring Dave East, Rich. How you feel about that?
Yeah, I'm Future. I'm running down on him every time he drop a song. Yeah, any project that I got. If I got an interview, he don't need to do no interviews. If I got a song, he don't need to drop no songs. Quit playing with me. Quit playing with my style. I'm sending people to New York to come for you every time I feel like you disrespecting me.
Designer's kind of switched his look. He doesn't sound much like Future as he did when he first came out. So he's been hearing that shit and he needed to separate himself. People probably Pusha T probably told him, "Hey, bro, man, you might want to switch it up." But I wouldn't be mad if I was Future because this is no competition to do.
Pusha T told him, "You're fired."
None. Yeah, this ain't no competition to do. Like, bro, this ain't even on my radar.
Nah.
Like, dude, I mean, he won and done. Like, he fucking gonna be out of here by
Dave
summer.
Dave, he's playing himself. I need to stop.
I wonder why he did that, dog. Nice. Dave East got too much talent, man. Like, he got too much on him.
He can rap his ass off. It was a good verse.
Yeah. But, that song was slow, though.
Yeah, cold slow.
All right, man. Did you see, man, before we get Ghost out of here, did you see on Netflix, Killer Mike's Trigger Warning series debuted on Friday? You know how Netflix do? They drop the whole series at once. My question, A, did you see it? B, what did you think about it?
I watched the first episode, trying to just survive all black people stuff the first
one. Yeah, black owned business.
And I'm here for it. I'm gonna watch Killer Mike's show. I like the creative aspect of it. I wanted something different, more like him talking like he does when he's on like CNN and stuff like that. Just dropping knowledge about stuff that he knows. I don't need all the goofy stuff, him riding a bike. I don't need him acting like he walked to Athens, Georgia. Like, I don't really need them to put the medicine in the candy like it. Like, he could have went through all those topics without,
like, nah, you gotta present it or something.
Make it entertaining.
Though. Yeah,
you can make it in it. I mean,
you want niggas at round tables with coffee mugs and three piece suits on?
If that's how they want it, if that's how they choose to make it entertaining, that's cool. I'm not saying it's not good. I'm saying it's not what I expected. There are four shows like this on TV already. Race in America on Viceland, Camus Bell or whatever his name on CNN. Like, like it's several shows like this. And Killer Mike just ain't the personality for me to check this out on that.
There's also several shows of people sitting and talking about these same issues in the deep, wasn't it? But none of them are Killer Mike,
though. You don't want to watch that. I do.
Yeah, there's plenty of shit for you to look at with that.
Yeah,
that's
but it ain't Killer Mike. Like you just said, you just asked me what I would do.
And you named all this different shit, and none of them are Killer Mike.
Exactly. And you asked me why, what I thought about it. Those are my thoughts about it.
That shit was fire.
Yeah.
Like, I watched it. I ran all of them in one day. I ran all back to back. That shit was genius. I will say this, and see, Killer Mike comes off as a person who doesn't take himself too seriously, especially if you follow him on Instagram. And how he clapbacks and comment, like, dude is not taking himself that seriously. So when I do see him on a bike, or when I do see him doing some stuff that may come off a little silly, it didn't come off as goofy to me because he's not that type of person to take himself too seriously. And it didn't have, like, little rinky-dink music and all that. It was more comedy. It was funny. Like, I wasn't laughing at him. I was kind of laughing with him. I knew what he was doing with it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, he's not – he doesn't want you to believe he walked to Athens, dude. You really think he wants you to believe that? Like, let's be honest.
Why the fuck do you keep asking me? Like, you asked me about it, and I told you what I thought. Nigga, I don't need you to sell me on it. It's cool.
That
I'm going to watch it, fam. Like, it's cool. I just was expecting something different.
So you only watched one episode?
Yeah, I just watched the first episode of, like, Black trying to do all the stuff Black,
and that just
which
did,
was cool.
That just did it for you?
Nah,
25-minute episode.
Right.
I
you can't
taking,
see it through?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to watch it because I like Killer Mike. I'm just not going to sit down for 3 hours and watch that. You know what I'm saying? I can watch it spread out. If I ain't doing nothing, I go back and check for separate episodes. But if I'm going to run through it and binge it Netflix style, it would have had to be something different for me. Like, I needed more, like, just more intellectual stuff.
That shit was super bingeable.
Right.
Like, the episode with the Cokes was fucking genius. The way he presented the issue at hand, which was, you know, the stereotype that comes with gangs and whatnot, and the way he presented that and had them boys in there, like, you see how focused they was when he presented, when he had them working on something? Like, them niggas was locked the fuck. You couldn't tell them they weren't finna make a billion off of that shit, dude. Like, they believed. They was locked in, channeled in. It's crazy with just a little bit of, like, guidance and, I ain't gonna say hope, but a little bit of direction and guidance and make people believe that they can actually do something. Man, niggas switch up they shit like that. And that's what he's saying is missing in these communities. And if it was there, then people wouldn't be doing this over here. They'd be more coming out with their own brand. Like what he was doing, like that shit was brilliant. That was probably my favorite episode. Now I would say, you finished the twin? You finished all the way through?
No, not all the way through.
Okay, right. I would say toward the end, like maybe the last one or two, it was a little more sillier than I would have wanted it to be at the end. It's kind of like reality TV ish, but it tied in the whole series at the end. I thought that shit was brilliant, man. I got to give him props. Like I was surprised, and I watched the Kamal Bell shit. And Chelsea Handler got kind of something similar. Like I watched that type shit, and I just think he brought a different aspect to it, man.
Definitely a different element. I mean, Killer Mike has always been one of my favorite, not just MCs, but overall, because he has the knowledge of what's going on in the community, what's going on in politics, what's going on in the nation. He's not afraid to speak his mind.
Yep.
So I think this is a wonderful platform for him, and I'm happy for him. So
yeah,
I
agree. Y'all go watch that Killer Mike. What's it called?
Trigger warning.
Y'all go watch it on Netflix. That's my guy, Killer Mike. I fucks with him heavy.
Atlanta boy, for sure.
Let's get to this On Decker of the week, man. We're going to the Rap Chat on Facebook. If you're not a member, you bullshitting with yourself. This one goes to Matt Toby. All right? Shout out Matt Toby, man. He asked, who would win in a rap battle, Meek Mill versus Kendrick Lamar? All right. Kendrick is cold, but I'm with Meek this winter. So he's saying that Meek would win. Shout out to Matt Toby.
Matt Toby, you got to change that profile picture, bro.
Yeah, we can't see you, Meek. Yeah, you got to sauce that up. And hold on. And you've only said something twice. You've been a member of the group chat since February last year, man. Speak up, Big Dog. We like to hear more shit like this. Who would win?
In a rap battle between Kendrick Lamar and Meek Mill?
Yeah.
I'm going Kendrick. I just don't have the faith in Kendrick. I mean, in Meek Mill's battling ability after his last loss. So he still got to make up for that body. He ain't bounced back from that shit. I'm going with Kendrick.
He definitely bounced back.
I mean, like, from a career standpoint.
In a battle setting, it's Meek, though. Can you picture Kendrick in a battle setting?
Yeah.
That shit a little cry. Come on.
I can picture him murdering some niggas.
Nah, fuck out of here.
Kenny?
No.
I'm going with Meek in a battle setting.
In a battle setting, it's Meek.
Y'all still remember Meek with them braids and that dirty ass white t-shirt. That's why y'all
No, it's just
real
the energy.
Philly shit.
Yeah.
That's what I want to see Meek. I want to see Meek with his hood like this coming down.
All that.
All that.
Kendrick Lamar's from Compton.
Yeah,
but he don't give me that gulliness.
Yeah, you need in a battle.
Yeah, yeah.
Y'all are crazy. Have you watched the Vice series with Kendrick Lamar?
No,
I did.
You ain't seen that?
I did see that when he was sitting in the chair.
Noisy. That's the name.
Yeah,
Noisy had some good ones.
Yeah, that'll give you the Kendrick that you're looking for slaughter him.
No,
to
really.
Slaughter me. Nah, yeah. Go watch it.
It won't.
Yeah, only Noisy one I saw was the Atlanta one. Surprise, but
the Compton one's dope.
Yeah, I
Compton was actually.
Oh,
real
I think
good.
I did. He was at the house. He was at his house.
He was sitting
on
the
porch
with the kind of dude.
Oh, I did see that. Yeah, with all those people around him. Yeah.
It was like it's like 10 parts though. He on 3 of them.
Yeah, they came out last year, right?
Nah.
It's been a minute. They need to drop a new one, actually.
Like 2 years ago then.
Two, three years ago.
It was long.
I saw it last year.
It was when To Pimp a Butterfly came out.
Oh my God. That's the album we don't speak of on this show.
It's a fucking classic.
Pretty good album.
Pretty good. It's a classic.
All right. With that note, music picks, man. What we got, M Extra?
You know, it's still the new year, but I do have a surprise for all rap fans everywhere.
Okay. Dropping an album?
That boy Cold World dropping tomorrow night. Got a single with a producer other than himself, T-Minus, on the boards.
Thank God.
Cold World is dropping.
Do we know who T-Minus is?
Yes.
What? Is this?
Hey, he done that shit for Wayne.
Stop.
Come on, man.
Your lack of knowledge is shining through. Just run with it. Be like, yeah, T-Minus. Just play it off.
Fam,
you've
been wanting to say that.
God damn. No, the listeners have been saying that.
Nobody cares who T-Minus is, bro.
He got hits, dude.
Yeah, T-Minus is a producer. Back to what I was saying.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Tonight, because it's coming out tonight at 9.
I thought it came out tomorrow.
Well, this airs Wednesday.
Tomorrow.
Which I thought it came out Thursday.
Comes out 9:23.
I'm glad you niggas exchanged notes and shit and want to roll it your comes eyes out like 9. The girls and me. Oh, you didn't know? No, nigga, I didn't know.
Go ahead. You were saying?
I tried to soft the alley. So yeah, I tried to go ahead. Your ass got hung on the rim, nigga.
Yeah, go ahead.
And you had to keep going with it when I said tomorrow. You were like, no, today, nigga.
You go ahead.
Comes out tonight at 9.
Thank you.
Yes. It's called Middle Child. And Cole has an interesting rollout he's doing with it. He just put a video of Bob Marley interview on Instagram. He just added another one of James Baldwin. So Cole doing his thing.
I'm interested to hear what it sounds like. Thank God he's using other producers.
Yeah.
This Revenge of the Dreamers 3 better be fire because they are gassing the fuck out of it.
Yeah, fire.
What you got on deck for the weekend?
Slow Motion.
Get out the house, dude. God damn. It's a whole world out there. Super Bowl in 2 weeks. Atlanta finna be lit.
This weekend.
Lit.
You say this
It's finna be lit for these next 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's gonna be off the chain.
Easy.
Yeah, people still say that. Off the chain.
No, they don't.
Yeah. I'm bringing it back, though.
No?
Yeah.
Oh.
Be you.
Yeah, it ain't shit popping off this weekend.
I'm out of here this weekend.
What you finna do?
Random. This is random. I'm going to be going to San Jose this weekend for the NHL All-Star game. Yes.
Remember that.
Yeah, I'm a cultured individual on deck, listeners.
Hockey lit in person, though.
Yeah.
Super lit.
Yay area is lit always, so I'm definitely going to enjoy my time.
Never been.
Oh, really?
No, I ain't never been to the Bay.
Gotta go.
Man, y'all do us a favor. Go to iTunes, subscribe, click the link for the YouTube in the show notes right here. Just click the link if you're on iTunes or whatever platform you're listening and subscribe to the YouTube. And of course, like we said, Facebook, join the group and follow us on Instagram and Twitter at On Deck TV Podcast. We are out. We will see y'all next week.
Cheer.
Yes, sir.
Good morning. Oh, and in case I don't see you, good afternoon, good evening, and good night.